armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
I'm trying
any
to save
idea?
The bubble. Really, this
do
is what you're doing?
Do you have any
this
idea?
What you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee. I don't know much, but I know one thing. My bracket is busted. You'd have easier time putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. Good Monday.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The
howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Well, I'd be doing better if my bracket was a little better, but I did have a good weekend as far as the books are concerned. The only thing I really care about is covering the spread. The brackets for me are it's something it's fun to try to do, but I like the head-to-head matchups. But my word, this is becoming a theme, and it's just basically guessing the right upset every year now, because there have been huge upsets the last several years, and it's becoming more and more. I don't think it's going to change. I think gone are the days of the three or four blue bloods that you have to worry about keeping off the perch. Look, I've got Gonzaga going all the way to the Final Four. I've got them winning it all. And they looked very, very susceptible to an upset last night. So I'm not, look, Arizona goes down. Duke goes down. Those were two of my Final Four teams. Arizona was the one that I felt the least behind. I would have normally have put UCLA in the Final Four, and I didn't want to put two teams to the Pac-12. When UCLA got the injury, it made me gun-shy. But Duke flat-out got out-coached. I watched that game from front to back, and I was pulling for Tennessee. I just thought the Duke would end up beating them. Ended up covering the spread because I took Tennessee in the points, but I thought Duke would eke out a victory. They flat-out got out-coached. And Shire was constantly going to that 2-3 zone, and he was getting killed by that. And I could not understand why he kept going to it and going it to and going to it. So I was happy as far as the Vols covering the spread. At that, I mean, I had no even thoughts of my bracket doing very well to begin with, because Arizona had already gotten knocked out. Purdue, I didn't have Purdue going that far, but Purdue got knocked out. But you've got a wild, wild Sweet 16. Of course, that's not going to take place until Thursday. We're 10 days away from opening day, and the Sarge is with us today, and we're going to be talking AL East baseball. We're going to be talking a lot of AL East baseball on Mondays, and we'll be talking a lot of NL Central baseball as well, as Tones will be here at the top of the hour. And we are going to be diving into different divisions every day, and of course, anything Braves related, we'll definitely focus on. There is a tournament, by the way, for folks who are probably not paying attention, probably don't even realize it's on, because it's on some strange website. I can't even remember the name of it. I'm just checking the scores, but it's on some random website. It's not being it's not being televised on any of your major networks. And from what I gathered from it yesterday, because I was looking to try to see if I could catch one of the games, I believe you have to pay to get onto the website. I was like, I'm not paying for this just ridiculous who gives a crap tournament. It's being played in Daytona Beach, Florida. And it's being done almost like, it's not like a true tournament like the way the NIT and the NCAA. Honestly, what it's being put together like is almost like a conference tournament because they're playing back-to-back-to-back days. So that's going on. And real quick, by the way, the Braves are playing right now. I'm going to go ahead and share that score with you if you're watching on our Braves Country HD on YouTube. But the Braves are tied right now with Tampa Bay. And as we always do, when they are playing and we're not doing the game, we still share the score so people know what's going on. Atlanta is at bat. Matt Olson hit another home run today. That dude is just scorching hot. 6 this spring, considering how limited these guys play and get the at-bats in the spring. That's an incredible number, and it was another moonshot. Done a few of their games this spring. He's hit a home run in every one of the games I've done. This one was another skyscraper. I mean, over the tree line. It's unbelievable. Beautiful day down in Northport, not a cloud in the sky. And the Braves were trailing in this game 4-0 as Kyle Wright had a shaky early outing. And then the Braves have just been pumping up runs. I'll tell you something else he's hitting well. And a lot of fans don't want to hear this because they keep trying to come up with the reason for the Braves to run him off. Marcell Ozuna's bat's heating up. And maybe we get a Marcell Ozuna closer to 2020 than what we saw in 21 and 22. And if that's the case, this offense is going to be outstanding, lights out. You got another good performance today from Grissom. It was good to see him play. I'm going to tell you right now something that's a little on the question mark you have with that shortstop position. There was a stretch of 5 out of 7. I think it actually got to 6 out of 8 games where the shortstop, the starting shortstop for the Atlanta Braves was not Grissom. It was Shoemake. We've seen that quite a bit. And with that being said, if you end up with that type of situation, where Shoemake continues to play well, and he's played very well this spring. I mean, very well. If that continues, I can tell you right now, there's a very strong possibility Grissom gets sent down to the minors. Shoemake gets the starts. And because the one thing they're not going to do, I got this question over the weekend. They're not going to carry them both because they don't want either guy to sit on the pine and not get at bats. So if they end up rolling with Shoemake and saying, Grissom, you need to learn a little, then so be it. And I'm okay with that because I believe that Atlanta would be fine with Shoemake at shortstop. He's definitely playing much better defensively. And if he can just hit as well as he's been doing, he's not going to bring you a lot of pop, but he's hitting up around 300. If he gets anywhere close to that and can play great defense, Shoemake may be the guy, and they may need to send down Grissom, which I didn't think was an option before, but it's looking more and more like Grissom could be the option heading into Grissom could be an option to go down to the minors and work out some of his. It's really defensive. Offensively, he's doing fine. But you don't want him sitting on the pine if he's not going to be starting 5 out of every 6 days, 6 out of 7, et cetera, et cetera. You send him down to Gwinnett and you roll with Shoemake until Grissom's ready. So there's the memo on that. The Sarge is going to be with us in a second, we're going to talk some American League baseball. We're going to talk the WBC as well as the championship. Well, half the championship is set, and we will wait the second half of it tonight as Japan and Mexico will square off tonight at 7. I believe that's on FS1. And tomorrow night, the championship, Fox is really spitting the bit. USA and either Mexico or Japan are going to be in the championship, and they're not putting that on the mothership. Hey, FS1, really? Americans will tune in. And then you've got the Japanese and either you would either have the Japanese fan base or the Mexican fan base. They would tune in. You would get huge numbers. You're still going to get very good numbers because they've been getting good numbers on this, but you would get enormous numbers. And tonight, there is no NIT action, but the CBI, like I said, I was going to update you real quick. Southern Utah is all over Rice right now. That game is at the half, 49-37. Southern Utah was a 6.5-point favorite, so see how that's going. And Eastern Kentucky beats Indiana State. That is an upset. Indiana State was a 6.5-point favorite, and it went to overtime. So if you do care about the CBI, there you go. Later on today, San Jose State versus Radford and Charlotte versus Milwaukee. Okay, let's take that quick break. When we come back, the Sarge is going to be with us, and he's concerned about his Red Sox and the WBC. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down, and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total, every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD. Hey, sports fans, the Key has a brand new show. Braves Country is coming your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. On WQEE, Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We'll be talking the Atlanta Braves and Major League Baseball, along with everything important to sports fans in Braves Country. The SEC, ACC, Big Ten, and the National Football League, and the big sports news of the day. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on WQEE, The Key, 99.1 FM, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Listen, that's a bunch of hooey, that soft and cuddly feeling. We're going to hug a thug, and if we give them, you know, another popsicle and an icy and a day out at the park, they're going to be good. Y'all need to wake up. They'll eat your ice cream on Saturday and shoot up the rivals on Saturday night.
Braves Country HD. Please like and subscribe today, youtube.com/@Braves Country. Welcome back. Atlanta Braves, Tampa Bay Rays, they are tied at 5 at the top of the 8th. And joining us on Mondays, American League East Mondays, is Mr. Temus Wooten. Temus, how the hell are you?
I'm doing good. Getting every day is another inch closer to opening day.
I see that. I like the backdrop you got there. You can see it a lot better.
I found the best spot for Wi-Fi in the house, which happens to look like a bunker, but who can explain it? So
usually it does, right?
I look like I'm a survivalist or something waiting for Armageddon, but does the audio sound okay? Then I'm good with it, you know?
Yeah, it was funny. I don't remember what it wasn't last week, so it must have been a few weeks ago. You were doing the show from the house, and I noticed it, but I didn't say anything because what in the world could you do about it? It was in the middle of the show. I noticed that there was something in the middle of the in the middle of the floor in your backdrop as your living room or den or something. But my wife, who rarely watches the show or even comments on it, she says something to me that night. She goes, "What was on Temus's floor in the back?" I said, "Well, he does have a puppy, so I don't, I don't know. It could have been that."
I would think chances are better than somewhat that she's reverted. She's taking some steps back in the potty training department, so it was probably number two.
Oh, don't they all? Like, our puppy, we were so proud of her about 2 weeks ago, and I'm telling you, it could have been 3 days later we were bragging on her. I mean, it's one after another. As soon as I get done with the show, I'm like, what the? Like, I thought we went past this.
Yeah, she's gotten to where now she likes to do her business on our couch. And we're
yes!
Come on, man. But, you know.
That's puppies.
I know. It's just frustrating. That's all. If I could just get my teenagers to stop going number two on the couch, I think I'd be happy.
Our oldest puppy, I guess it's a little over a year ago. She was starting to get potty trained, just like this one, and we thought we had her. We were bragging on her one night. Oh, you're doing so good. She comes and finds us, da-da-da-da-da. So we were all happy and whatnot. And I go in the bedroom. My wife's in the bathroom taking a bath, and she's, you know, talking to us or whatnot. We can hear her. And she goes into the bedroom, and I normally give her, like, treats at the end of the night, right? On the bed, so I'm thinking that's what she's doing. She's jumping up there to get her treat. She gets right where we sleep and just squirts all over the place. And, I mean, has the weirdest, like eating grin, I guess the cleanest way I can say it, as she's doing it, just smiling. I'm like, what are you doing? You can imagine I like blew a gasket. I'm like, and it wasn't like just a little tinkle. It was full blown. Might have been like, you know, you'd have thought a 3-alarm fire was on that bed, man.
Yeah. Like wow, five. God. Yeah.
And as you can imagine, that's fun. 15 minutes before you're about to go to sleep.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, all right. My thing crawled right up my ear and just let me have it and walked over, looked at me, laid down. I said, no, that's not how this is going to go. Ooh, make you lose your religion pretty quick. That's
where you're wrong. And what's funny is I'll get so like steaming mad and it lasts like 15 seconds after I get really mad and I'm cursing all the gods in the kitchen as I'm going and getting all the cleaning supplies. Then they come up and then they just jump on you and start hugging you. And you're like, no.
Right.
Oh, man. All right. So you're not a fan of the WBC. I'm having a blast watching it. It is so fun. The only thing I hate about the WBC is that we only get it every 3 years. And really, this is the first one in 6 years because of the pandemic. So I'm having a blast. I'm glad they do it. The players love it. The fans love it. But then there's curmudgeons like you who must be real fun at parties that don't like it. But you had a bone to pick specifically because it's Kike Hernandez.
Right.
Related.
Yes. He's going to be our shortstop now in Boston. And he's been our center fielder forever. But he's going to be, you know, we lost Bogart. So he's going to fill that hole. And he has been playing with the Puerto Rican team. He's been out there in center field the whole time. So these are some of the reasons I just despise the WBC. He needs reps. That's a hard, hard, hard position. I'm not saying center field in Fenway is an Aerosmith concert. Now, that's a hard position too. But that's not what he's going to be playing anymore. So put him in the infield. Have some old dude slapping balls at him all day. Let him get used to it. Get some range. You know, get comfortable. But half of spring training, three quarters of spring training is over now. And he has no reps at shortstop. I mean.
Okay, but here's the thing. And I knew he had played shortstop, but I looked it up today just so I would know exactly what he's done in his career. And I'll put it up on the screen in a second, but Hernandez has played 100 games at shortstop in his 9-year career in Major League Baseball.
Not a lot.
Cause that's a decent, that's not a lot. That's, you know, if this was his first year in the league, they're ready to take the rookie tag off of you. And not to mention the fact that was his initial position coming out of the draft. So he's a shortstop. He knows how to play it. And I found some quotes on it. And his biggest quote that I found that said, I was more worried about playing center field because so much ground to cover considering my speed. Of course, I depend a lot on my jump and first step. And he said, but as far as being an infielder, you know, he also played quite a bit of second base. And so where's the quote at? He said, basically it's the same as playing second, but with a longer throw. I'm not sure if that's true, but you know, they're two very different positions. I think it's going to be fine.
I think Derek Jeter would disagree with that statement. But I mean, and also, Altuve's out for God knows how long. All these players, they're getting like seriously injured. And where's the line? When's the point where they start looking? Okay, maybe we should do this at the end of the season. Or
okay, but the thing is, that's unrealistic. I've seen people talk about that. That's unrealistic. Do it at the end of the season, because at the end of the season, these guys are gassed, You're going to have more of an issue from the guys getting injured at the end of the season than you would in spring training.
Big deal. You are on the Houston Astros, the team that has run baseball. You got a shot at another World Series, and you're playing in a tournament that means absolutely nothing except the fact that it has your country on the front. And okay, that's fantastic. But
what?
You are a professional Major League Baseball player. You play for a team. They pay you a kajillion dollars. And you can't play now because you're overplaying in a tournament when baseball season is about to start.
Okay, but one thing that I think a lot of folks they may not know. So, like the instance with Edwin Diaz, who got hurt at the World Baseball Classic. All these guys that play get insurance. The New York Mets are not on the hook for his salary this year because of the insurance, which is going to free up for them to be able to go and spend it elsewhere. So that's number one. Number two, they're growing the game, which is the biggest thing. And I know it may not mean a lot to you because, once again, you're an old curmudgeon. And, you know, get off my lawn kind of guy. But they're growing the game across borders, and they're getting more eyeballs on the game. You can't do this in the NFL for obvious reasons. They really have never successfully done it in the NBA. The only other sport that has successfully done anything like this, it's the World Cup. So this is the World Cup of Major League Baseball. And I think it's great. And look, if certain teams want to tell their kids, their guys, we don't want you to go, that's fine.
They can't make them not go.
There have been teams that have stepped in and said, we don't want you going. And that's fine. But the thing with Edwin Diaz, let me tell you right now, that was going to happen. Because if just doing a bunny hop tore your ACL, that's kind of like stubbing your toe on your couch and your entire leg explodes. You're like, dude, that was going to happen. That was just a ticking time bomb is all that was.
Okay, that one I understand, you know. But let me ask you this. Let's say the Angels caught fire, went in the playoffs, and Ohtani...
What year is this?
A month earlier than normal. He's gassed when it counts because he was in the WBC.
But why would that be? Ohtani, first of all, Ohtani hasn't pitched. Second of all, Ohtani, all these guys are starting their spring training at the same time. And the difference is, as players are playing a bunch of worthless games, speaking of meaningless games, spring training, meaningless games where they're only getting like two at-bats at most in the majority. It's not till this week that these guys start getting 3-4 at-bats, right?
Why do you think that is? That's my point. Why do you think that is?
Because they're bored. And they have
bored.
They have 75 guys, 80 guys that come into these camps and they want to see them all. And they don't feel like they need to see Ohtani hit. They know he's good. So, and the thing is, this is once every 3 years. Now, the 3 years thing might be a little weird. Maybe we need to make it four, right? You know, I mean, come on. The one thing I will say is a guy that does it this time around probably shouldn't do it next time around. And the only reason why I say that is not that I would ban him from doing it. It's more like give someone else a chance, right? But man, these guys are excited. If you haven't watched it, maybe that's why you're not like.
I used to watch it.
Man, I'm telling you, if stop what you're doing tomorrow night and watch the game. These guys love it. And it, man, there's something cool about it. And you know how hard it is for me to pull for any team that has Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Trey Turner. I mean, these are all Phillies and Mets up and down the lineup. But you're starting to get that feeling of America, let's do it. Let's upset Japan, assuming Japan gets past Mexico. And then if Mexico ends up winning, it's a rematch where Mexico had beaten the U.S. earlier. The fans are going bonkers. For people who haven't seen this, the fans are unreal. And every guy who's been interviewed during this tells you something. Every guy who's been interviewed during this last week or two, they've all said to me, and these are guys who have played the World Series, they've all said, this is the loudest and the most excited crowd that they'd ever seen in their entire life.
Yeah, I've heard them on the MLB and all that. I've heard that. And great for them. I'm just saying
it's good for the game. It's good for the game. You're going to get a few injuries here and there. It's going to happen. But it's good for the overall game. And that's why it's not going away. Just like the World Cup's not going away. You don't see the similarities because you don't give a crap about soccer. And I get that. But a soccer fan realizes that they're going to put their... Now, the difference is they tend to put the season on hold to go play in the World Cup because a lot of the preliminaries and all those matches, you know, to for the the qualifiers, as they call them, they'll put their season on hold. But they go and play, not as much in the MLS because most of the guys in the MLS aren't good enough to play in the World Cup, but I'm talking about like the EPL. They'll put everything on hold for a week or two, come back, and it's not. And they don't just play in just the World Cup with soccer. They play in all kinds of goofy tournaments that you're like, this has nothing to do with whether Manchester United wins the English Premier League. But it's just, it's become a part of it. And now they're going on. The next time they do this, the next, it'll be 20 years that they will have been doing the WBC. So it's not going anywhere.
I know. I'm in the minority. I know that. But can you imagine if Chris Sale was pitching in the WBC? Do you know how much the liquor licenses would rise in Boston every time that guy throws the ball or so it's a line drive back at him? And then he hasn't pitched in 2 years and he's off in some turn. I mean, thank God he's not doing it. Thank God. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, do it at a different time. Don't do it right before the season.
But you can't do it after the season because at that point you're going to increase the chance of an injury. You think Chris Sale is frail in March? Imagine that dude trying to pitch in November.
I don't think he would, honestly.
Well, no, I don't think he would either because they're never going to do it at the end of the season because of that very reason. And it's honestly just not just the pitchers. It's everybody is worn down. This is just basically you're playing in the WBC as opposed to playing in the, you know, the spring training games. And a lot of these guys are getting now the guys that I question, although it's not like they're not already cemented in their and they're going to be fine. But I'll take a guy like Pete Alonso of the Mets, who really hasn't been playing that much because he's just down on the pecking order. Goldschmidt's a better first baseman. He's a better player. Now, that's not putting any knock on Alonso because Goldschmidt's one of the best damn players in the world. But he's not getting a lot of it live at bats. Now, what he is, I'm sure he's doing, is that from what I've read, they're throwing a lot of live BP to him and all that kind of stuff, right? But that to me would be more of a big deal if Pete Alonso was a peach faced rookie coming up trying to make the team. Then you'd be like, what are you doing?
How many pitches on average are these starters throwing?
Well, they have rules in place. I don't have them in front of me, but the short of it is, if you throw X amount of pitches, then you cannot pitch for Y amount of days. So there's numbers in the pitches in their pitch count. I believe the plateau's 30 and then 50. Cause I believe if you get to 50, I think the number is if you get 50 or more, you can't pitch again for over 4 days. If you get, I think 30, I think it's either 2 or 3 days. So there is, so that's one of the reasons why the pitching roster is so big. So for instance, tomorrow night, there's no chance that Wainwright is going to come back in and try to finish off, get an inning or two in just because he really wants to win the WBC. DeRosa, who's managing the team, is going to be like, no, you could actually go home to St. Louis if you want, but he's not going to because he wants to be there if they win. What you got to be more concerned with is if you're the New York Mets, they didn't really have a plan B in their bullpen, man. Cause I'm looking at that. I'm looking at their closing. I was listening to a New York show this morning and they were going over the bullpen options. And what they were looking at was the ERA of these guys from last year. Right. But that's not the whole story. And the reason why I say it's not the whole story is guys like Adam Ottavino, who had like a 2.06 ERA last year, that's great. But his ERA when the game was on the line, because he came in and closed a few times for Diaz, was up around 5. So there's a big difference. There's just a mentality, and some guys can close and some guys can't. Yep. And that's just the way it is. That's the same. Look, that's just life. There's some guys that can close and some guys can't. We used to see it all the night when we were single, all the time we were single in bars. Some guys can close and some guys can't. Some guys spit the bit at the end, and you know, she walks out the door and goes, gosh darn it. Yeah. I had to tell her all about my Star Wars collection, and there it
was. Yeah, told her what a great cook mom is.
One thing that I did find interesting, I did the Braves Red Sox game last Friday. Kenley Jansen was on the mound, and he got called for too much time. And I'm curious, because I've obviously haven't watched the Red Sox a lot. Do you know if that's happened a lot this spring to him?
To my knowledge, I haven't heard that at all. Now, I work weird hours, so yep. I listen to as many games as I can. I haven't been able to sit down and watch one, really, but I do have them on in the background. I don't remember that happening, especially enough that I can say it happened more than once. I could be wrong on that, though.
You know, he was never a guy to me that took an extraordinary amount of time, but he does do that wiggle thing and likes to dig his foot in. He does it every single pitch. And I just feel like that he's going to have to, you know, they talked about Luis Garcia, who's been playing in the WBC, but obviously he's one of the better pitchers for the Houston Astros. And if you remember, he does that rock the baby thing.
Yeah.
Well, he had to eliminate all that. And the other guy, he just happens to be pitching right now, and I'm watching him. We got to take a quick break, but Craig Kimbrell, who's always had the arm hanging and all that stuff, I'm watching him right now to see if he's changing much. The problem is the Philly camera, they keep flipping around and showing everything but him. So all I see is when – but it seems like he's taking a long time in between pitches compared to what I've seen. Because – it's, I mean, I'm almost thinking that they turned the damn clock off out there, because I just saw him throw a pitch and then the other guy walked around and got himself a, you know, some popcorn. I'm like, and I have seen that a few of these games, they haven't had the clock in certain stadiums for whatever reason. But I'm curious to see what the difference is going to be with Kimbrel, because you sit there and hang that arm and all that kind of stuff. I know he can adjust, but will that affect his velocity? And will it affect – the biggest thing I'd be more concerned with is his command.
Yeah, it's his delivery. I mean, because
– you've been doing that forever.
You don't want to dig in if he's off, you know? I mean
– can you imagine Nomar in the middle of his career, and they told him, you can't fidget with your gloves, and he's like, wait, what?
I don't know what to do with my hands. I can't swing up. Yeah, he would be so lost. Poppy –
And like four, you and I would be talking about how Nomar's been sent to Pawtucket because he can't deal, you know. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more baseball, and we're going to talk about the American League East and give you our predictions for 2023. We're just 10 days away from opening day, by God. Keep it locked in here on the Key.
If you don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed. That's the American way.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Change approved.
It's important to remember the value of taking time for ourselves to do the things that help us grow and explore, like learning something new. And now with the Great Courses Plus, it's never been easier to experience the joys of learning. The Great Courses Plus offers thousands of streaming videos that cover hundreds of fascinating topics, from World War II to choosing the perfect wine. You can even take a course on the U.S. government or dealing with stress and anxiety. And because the Great Courses Plus partners with world-class professors and experts, you're always receiving thoroughly vetted, high-quality content from every lecture. Plus, you can watch or listen anytime, anywhere with the Great Courses Plus app. So take a little time for you. Sign up for the Great Courses Plus today. Visit thegreatcoursesplus.com to get started. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com. CourseSPlus.com.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at OurDragonsMerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at OurDragonsMerch.com. That's the letter R, DragonsMerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
The wives are all disgusted, and they're meeting in the yard. On their way
welcome
to
back.
The numbers off our credit cards. He's the Armchair Quarterback. He's full of beer, and he's full of snacks. The All-American Man.
There you go. Braves lead it 6 to 5, top of 9. The Rays are batting as the Braves are the home team, and Minter's in. He's been shaky this spring, but he's come out shaky the last few springs and then ends up nailing it down. So I'm not really that concerned about it. So before we get to the predictions of the AL East, want to make sure that we get this in. What is your American League Cy Young winner this year, T? I'm curious to see where you went.
Oh man. I did not see that question in our pregame strategy. I would assume.
All right, well, then that's okay.
Probably
that's right. We'll put a pin in it and next week come back with those, okay?
Yeah.
So the AL East. Let's do the AL East predictions then, because I'd rather you look at it and study it than just, you know, give me a Bronco versus New England Patriots.
They're going to be a total hoot for me.
I don't want to get that Denver Bronco versus the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Hey, man, I've been up 30 hours, all right, for you. So you're going to have to let it go at some point. I'm just saying.
Never going to happen, my friend. Every time I forget about it, our friend Tony reminds me on Twitter. So.
And I get like a reminder of it every year on Facebook. 1 year ago today, this happened. Come on.
1 year ago today, you sucked.
Yeah. Stayed up all night watching a tournament for you, by the way.
You were probably watching the WBC.
Nope. No, I wasn't.
All right. By the way, is that the final out? That was the final out. The Atlanta Braves beat Tampa 6-5. I believe. I really hope this is not the new broadcast of the Braves that I have seen, because it's terrible. And I think this is coming off of MLB.com's site, but answer me this. If you have watched any Red Sox baseball, are you getting any of these games where a play is being made, right? Let's say it's a home run, right? So let's say Kike Hernandez hits a home run, and then before you even see him rounding the bases, they're doing an instant replay flash. I hate it. Like, there's no other word for it. I hate it.
Well, I think that might be a spring training thing.
I hope so.
I think they have limited... You know, they don't have their sports van out there, and they don't have all these huge booths going into one. You know, I think that's.
I hope so. But it's just, it has never been a thing before, because I've watched spring training baseball my whole life, and I've never seen it like this before. And before the ball ever lands over the outfield wall, you start getting. They don't call it instant replay. They call it something else. But anyways, they're trying to be kitschy and cool, and it sucks. I'm like, man, I didn't even see where the ball landed, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I hate it. But anyways, American League East. Put your name on it. We'll start from 5-1. How about that?
Thanks.
So who is your team who's going to finish in the cellar in the American League East?
I don't know how much better Baltimore got in the offseason, you know? But I don't love how much better the Red Sox got either. So I'm going to have to say the Red Sox are got another year in the bottom. I don't expect them. I think it's going to be a competition between them and Baltimore. Either one wouldn't surprise me, but I would have to say at this point, being Baltimore finished ahead of us last year and we lost all these people. I'm going to say Boston.
I'm going to agree. I don't see how the Red Sox are going to win enough games in a very difficult division to stay out of the cellar. And that doesn't mean that they may not even fall that far out of the final wild card.
Sure.
This is not the NL Central or AL Central where the team at the bottom is going to have like 55 wins.
Right.
This is, I can see the Red Sox or whoever ends up in the cellar in the East having 80 wins and only being 5 games out of the final fray. So I'm going with the Red Sox too. I don't like what they did in the offseason. I like little things they did. I like some of the moves that they brought in, but you almost wonder if they're being brought in to be shipped out. Deals like Adam Duvall playing center field, right? Yeah. Are they trying to catch lightning in a bottle? Hope he has a real good first half of the year, and then they can move him. Chris Sale, how much are you going to get from him?
What are you getting? And Paxton's not going to pitch till the Rapture.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, it might. I don't know. I honestly don't even remember how good he was. He hasn't pitched in so long. It's
been 4 or 5 years since he's been what I would call a top end starter, yeah. Meaning someone you would want in your third, second, or first position. His last year that he pitched, I mean, he was batting practice.
And Whitlock, you know, trying to make a starter out of him. They tried it before. It didn't work. But he's had the whole offseason to convert.
I thought Tanner Houck has looked pretty good. I've watched him pitch twice this spring. I like him. The big question is, are they going to be able to keep him there, or is there going to be like this need to have him stick and go back into the bullpen again? But
I would guess. Yeah, that would be my guess. So, yeah, it's Boston 5, Baltimore's 4.
All right, so you've got 4 for Baltimore.
Yeah.
So I took Boston in 4th. I've got Toronto in 4th.
Toronto in 4th.
Absolutely. But that's because I've got a team that I'm backing this year that I think is going to be pretty darn good. You got Baltimore and you've got...
Didn't Toronto, like... Am I thinking of another team? Didn't Toronto bolster their roster in the offseason?
I mean, some might say that. I feel like that they're always lacking consistent starting pitching, and I'm still not that impressed by their bullpen, which got shellacked last October.
Yes, they did.
So that's my biggest thing with them. I like the up-and-coming young Baltimore Orioles, and that's who I'm putting in at 3rd. And honestly, I almost put them in 2nd. I think Baltimore is moving in the right direction. Now, the problem is they're young. They could take a step back before they go a step forward. But I like Baltimore long-term. So I'm going with the Orioles at 3rd. Who do you have in number 3?
The Rays.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so... Does that leave you with Toronto at 2nd?
Yep.
Okay. So where we differ big time is where we think Toronto and Baltimore are going to
finish. Yeah, I can't. I did not.
I've got Tampa Bay finishing second. And the reason why is because they're the Rays. And they always find a way with a $37 budget to win 98 games and scare the crap out of the Yankees. And I would be shocked if they don't do it again. And honestly, I was a little on the fence. Let me go ahead and take this off since this game is over. I was a little on the fence, but Zach Eflin's looked pretty good in the spring, and he might be the perfect kind of pitcher for them to sign, because they'll do a very good job of. Here's the thing about Zach Eflin. If people are out there thinking about drafting him in fantasy or whatnot, I don't know if I would, because I don't know if he's going to go through the lineup more than twice. I think he's a guy who's got good stuff, but they brought him in not to be some horse who's going to go for 200 innings, right?
Well, the Rays don't pitch their pitchers more than two or three innings anyway. So,
but they wanted a guy who could go four, maybe even five innings from time to time and give that bullpen a breather. They're going to get Glasnow back, but honestly, if Glasnow was going to be healthy to start the season, I might have taken the Rays to bring the whole thing in. The AL East, but I just, man, Glasnow, they're talking about probably sometime in May. So that's putting a lot of pressure on Eflin, and that's putting a lot of pressure on the other guys. You know, even Springs, who's a good pitcher, he's not a guy you want to send out there more than two times through the lineup because he doesn't have blow you away stuff. So that means that we got the New York Yankees winning the division.
Yep.
Aren't you loving that?
Nope.
The Yankees win. I just don't see, even with the injury to Rodon, and it looks like he's not going to miss as much time as I originally thought he was going to miss. Just every day up and down that lineup, you're going to have a problem. Their starting pitching got so much better.
Yeah.
And I think the only team that could realistically threaten them in the AL East is the Rays, because that's just what the Rays do.
Yeah.
They find ways to win
at a barbecue based on.
Rays are different from almost any other team. I'll tell you what the difference is. It drives me crazy. I'm sure it drives you crazy as a fan, because I'm sure the Red Sox do the same thing. But the Braves are famous for this, especially with Snicker. He's willing to punt a game on a Wednesday. And look at the long term of, well, I want my bullpen to be ready for tomorrow and Friday, Saturday. So he's okay with it. The Tampa Bay, they try to win every single game they can. And when you get to the end of the season, they haven't really blown anyone's arm out, because everyone, like you said, pitches like two innings. And somehow they've got 90 plus wins, and that's I have a hard time taking them.
How? You want to know how? It's because they pitch all these different pitchers. You know, if you go through the lineup two, three times, you start to get kind of, you know, as a major league hitter, you start, okay, I think I got my timing down. Well, you're facing this guy, everybody's a first time. It's wildly, you know, the first time through the lineup. Guys are trying to get the feel, you know, and all that. But you're always the first time through the lineup with the stupid Rays.
It works. And wherever they end up, because they ain't going to be in the trop forever. So if they stay in Tampa or they go to Montreal or move on to Nashville, wherever that front office, I would put up against any front office in not just baseball, but all of sports.
Unless you're...
There's not a better front office.
Yeah. High and blue.
There's plenty front offices that are just as good. I love what the Braves do, right? But there's not one better. Because people are constantly poaching the Rays for a reason. What is your walk-off for the week, sir?
My walk-off today is going to be a little bit of a surprise. I wanted to say it earlier, but I was saving it for my walk-off. Everybody knows I'm not a World Baseball Classic fan. But my interest is piqued on this Roki Sasaki. I think I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I can to watch this kid tonight. 21 years old. They said he's got a lightning bolt for a shoulder. He's got he has to play in Japan 9 years before he can come over. So this is like a one-time shot to get to see him. And we're going to try to tune in tonight for the WBC.
So he'll pitch tonight. We'll see him about 2 Tommy John surgeries from now.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a little surprised. Well, the rumor is if they win, they've been saving Ohtani for the championship.
I would.
I'm like, bring it, baby. We're going to light him up. We've been doing nothing but hitting boom, boom.
All right, Trey Turner, Pepper Fenway this year. Woo!
All right, brother, we will see you next week. Talk more AL East baseball. We'll be back in a flash when we come back. Tones is on the way. We're going to talk some NL Central, Cubs, Cardinals, and, of course, the Atlanta Braves and March Madness. Woo! Let's get it. We're going to reset our brackets. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. While we await March Madness to reconvene on Thursday night, Major League Baseball is just 10 days away from opening day. Spring training going on in the Grapefruit League. Your Atlanta Braves are at home against Tampa in Northport, Florida. We'll keep you up to date with the scores and highlights as the show rolls along. Other games of note around spring training: Mets are at the Nationals later on tonight at 6 o'clock in Palm Beach. Marlins at Cardinals. Red Sox host the Pirates. The Phillies welcome in the Baltimore Orioles. Out in the Cactus League, Diamondbacks are at the White Sox. Brewers at Mariners. And later on tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, the Dodgers are in Scottsdale to face the Rockies. Games of note on the ice tonight: Panthers are at the Red Wings at 7 Eastern. Senators and Penguins as well. That can be seen on the Plus. And the late drops: Sharks at the Oilers. Flames are at the Kings. The Association taking center stage on the hardwood tonight. Dallas Mavericks at the Memphis Grizzlies on NBA TV. Ja Morant is expected back. In other games of note, the Bulls are at the 76ers at 7 Eastern. Timberwolves at the Knicks. Should be a good one. It's in the Garden at 7:30. And the Kings travel to the Utah Jazz. You do have the CBI going on in men's college basketball. That invitational is taking place in Daytona Beach, Florida. Teams in action today: Indiana State, Southern Utah, San Jose State, and Charlotte. Miami Dolphins exercised their fifth-year option on quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Tua's option being picked up for 2024 will come in at $23.17 million. Sean Bunting signed a one-year, $5 million contract with the Tennessee Titans. And another cornerback over the weekend, Cornell Armstrong, signed a one-year, $1.2 deal with the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons also added cornerback Michael Ford. He signs a one-year, $2.2 million contract. And wide receiver Zach Pascal is moving out west. He inks a 2-year contract with the Arizona Cardinals. In case you missed it over the weekend, Jerickson Profar finally gets his deal. Signs a 1-year, $7.75 million contract with the Colorado Rockies. Former San Diego Padre will try to improve his numbers from last year and hit the open market once again in November. And relief pitcher Sergio Romo signed a minor league contract with the San Francisco Giants that he will retire on. Also over the weekend in the National Football League, Adam Thielen will help fill the void that veteran wide receiver DJ Moore left from being traded to the Chicago Bears. Thielen reached a deal on Sunday with the Carolina Panthers, a 3-year contract, numbers not yet disclosed. And the Dallas Cowboys traded for wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Houston Texan wide receiver will be shipped off to Dallas for a 5th-round pick in 2023 and a 6th-round choice in 2024. This move likely takes the Dallas Cowboys out of the competition for free agent wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., who OBJ had been most linked to the Dallas Cowboys during the offseason. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned. We're Braves country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. The Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down, and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD.
Shouldn't you be at work by now?
Work? It's raining. I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
You don't work in the rain. You're a mailman. Neither rain nor sleet. It's the first one!
Welcome back. Well, we referenced this last week. I was talking to the guys about rumors I was hearing, and it looks like it did come true today. I meant to mention this in the opening. Rick Pitino signs a 6-year deal to be the head coach of St. John's. So he'll stay in the New York area. And I think that's a good fit for both. I know a lot of folks probably have not forgiven Pitino for what he did to get canned at Louisville. But honestly, most of the stuff that he was doing then is essentially legal now. So it's college sports is, it's at the point now where it's slimier than politics in the 70s. So, I don't know what to tell you. If you're going to pull for college sports, you're going to see more of this. And Brandon Cooks ends up going to the Cowboys in a trade. And this guy has been all over the league, and it seems like he's always getting traded. So I guess what eventually happens, he wears out his welcome. Now, I will say this. Brandon Cooks comes to the Texans and probably thinks that he's going to have Deshaun Watson as his quarterback. And next thing you know, not so much. But if you remember, he was with New England. They got rid of him. He was a Saint. They got rid of him. He was a Ram. And it's weird now to think about this, but when he was a Ram, this is several years ago, there was concern that he was going to have to retire because of all his concussions, much like Tua Tagovailoa. Now you don't hear anything about it anymore. So I'm not sure what actually happened with that whole situation, but he is on the move. Cowboys didn't really give up a whole lot, a fifth round this year, a sixth round next year. And I think the Texans just wanted to move on from him. They're wanting to get younger. I think Cook still has a little bit left in the tank. And I think the other big deal that was made over the weekend, honestly, was the signing of Jerickson Profar. Because I was starting to think that guy was never going to get a job. And when I was reading into it, trying to figure out, like, why is everyone else getting signed and Profar's not getting signed? Essentially, what it came down to is he was valuing himself much higher than what teams had him valued at. So he ends up with a 1-year 7.75 was the number to the Rockies. And if there's ever a place where Profar can go out and have himself a good year and then reset himself and see what he could possibly bring in next year, that's the place. He had a bad year last year, but all in all, it's had a pretty good season. Career. And there you have that. So, by the way, the Atlanta Braves, for folks who are just joining us, the Atlanta Braves did win today. It was spring training. We know not to get really crazy about that, but they did win. There are only a handful of games left. Their last spring training game will be a week from tomorrow. So a week from tomorrow, you're going to get the spring training game. And once they finish up shop there, they start heading. Normally, they would head back home to Atlanta, but they're heading to Washington as first pitch of that game will be 1:05 p.m. Eastern, Washington Nationals. And look forward to another great season and hopefully not just another division championship, but hopefully they can bookend a World Series title. Because if they can put another championship together in 21 and 23, that would be a heck of a stretch to win six divisions in a row to get two World Series championships. And I think if the Braves would have played last year's playoffs on normal rest, they would have had every bit of chance as anyone to win another World Series. But that layoff, it affected them. I think it affected them more than other teams because they had such a long run to try and catch and run down the Astros that they ended up running out of gas a little bit at the end. And then you had that week layoff that they had. Tuesday was the last time they played an important game. And then it was a week later on a Tuesday that they started to play. Plus, and they were flat. They were absolutely flat. So hopefully this year they get off to a better start and they don't have to expend so much energy chasing someone down. And I would tend to think things might change this year because of the way things played out. If you get towards the end and let's say you're 2-3 games behind the Phillies or the Mets, and you're in the last week of the season, maybe they don't put their best foot forward and they worry more about being healthy if they've already secured a playoff spot. Tones is on the way. We're going to be talking some American League Central baseball today. We're going to get his AL Cy Young, his AL MVP. I will give you mine at that point as well. Did want to get into the March Madness a little bit and real quick on the, looks like Southern Utah is up by, they're up by six, 77-71 over Rice. Minute 21 left in that game. That's at the CBI being played down in Orlando. Daytona. San Jose State, Radford, that game is next. And then Charlotte, Milwaukee tonight. But as far as I know, none of these games are on actual television. I believe I saw where tomorrow night's games, or maybe it's the championship game, I don't remember. It's either the semifinals or maybe it's just the final, but that would be on one of the ESPNs. I think it was the Deuce. Tomorrow night you've got the NIT resuming. And they are down to the quarterfinals at the NIT. And it's North Texas, Oklahoma State still in that. Wisconsin and Oregon, in case you haven't been playing or paying attention to it. UAB, Vanderbilt. Cincinnati, Utah Valley. And that's what you have going on there. Those are your quarterfinal matchups for the NIT. Now, you've got the NCAA tournament, we're down to 16. 16. That means we got 4 games on Thursday night and 4 games on Friday night. And the game on, the way it's going to begin is you're going to get, so the 6:30 start is Michigan State and Kansas State. And then they're going to stagger them. The way they do the Sweet 16 Thursday night and Friday nights, I think this is done so much better than any of the tournament stuff that they do. Because you get 4 meaningful games each night, and they're staggered on top of each other. And you get an opportunity. First of all, you don't have to sit through some of these long, dull 30, 45 minutes sometime, halftime or in between game shows that they had on the weekend. I mean, what in the world is CBS doing on the weekend? On Saturday and Sunday, they had a game start at 12. I want to say 12:10 was the actual tip time. They had a game start at 12:10. And then the next game didn't start till 2:40. And both of the early games were Snoreville. So you didn't just have to, at the end of the game, you didn't just have to wait for, I think they didn't start the second game on Sunday till almost 3:00. So you didn't just have to sit through 40, 45 minutes of a whole bunch of nothing on the CBS. I mean, my word, if you're going to do that, can you at least bring Charles Barkley into the fold to entertain us? But then the next game started at 2:40, and then the third game started like, what, 5:15 or something like that? And then you got all these games crammed together at night, Saturday night, Sunday night. I really wanted to watch the Gonzaga game, so I was up till 12:30 or whatever time it was that finally ended. Of course, it always takes a while to wind down. I had to be up early. So, I mean, I was dragging this morning, but I didn't want to miss that Gonzaga game, which is a really good game. I'm like, what are we doing? I know I had to be in the minority staying up that late. Had to be. Most people are like, nah, I'll catch a score. So, what are we doing? Why is it on a Sunday you have this long gap in between? Same thing on Saturday. I get that you, on the early part, you probably didn't want to start layering over each other too early because people are doing things outside and whatnot. But by the time we hit 5-6 o'clock Eastern, let's go. Let's start fanning them over each other and let's get done with watching this tournament by 10 p.m. Can we do that? 10 p.m. Eastern? Can we get done? Because I don't normally stay up much later than that on a Sunday. Unless the Atlanta Braves are playing Sunday night baseball or there's a really good Sunday night football game, I call it a night. It was unbelievable these times. I mean, the Alabama game didn't start until 10:02, 10:05 p.m. Eastern. It was somewhere in that neighborhood on Saturday night. I guarantee you, that had a low number because it was following St. Patrick's Day. So everyone that you would think would be up having a good time on a night game, they did it the night before and they're tired. They didn't get much sleep tonight. They're like, let's go to bed. And it was a blowout. It was really easy to go to bed on that one. But they are just unreal. But anyways, I still would like to see the staggering a little better. But there's probably not a whole lot you can do. But the Michigan State-Kansas State game starts at 6:30. That's being played in New York. The second game is Florida Atlantic versus Tennessee. And that's going to be at 9 o'clock. And then the other two games are in Las Vegas. So you got UConn and Arkansas, which is probably the best matchup of them all at 7:15 on CBS. And then the Gonzaga UCLA game. That's going to be a game right there too as well. 9:45. I hate that it's going to be up that late, but I'll probably stay up for that one. There's a couple that that I have just said, I'm not staying up this late. It's ridiculous. And Xavier, Texas, 9:45 Friday night. I'm going to call it a night. I don't care enough about Xavier and Texas to be locked into that. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. I see tones starting to populate into the room, so we're going to take a quick break and reset. We come back. We're going to talk some March Madness. We're going to get Major League Baseball predictions for the American League Central. Who's going to win the AL Cy Young? Who's going to win the AL MVP? All that and more on the way. Back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Are you okay, pal?
I had a rough day on the job.
Are you going home now?
I was about to.
Well, then, you just fulfilled the first rule of law enforcement. Make sure when your shift is over, you go home alive.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill. Each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Make contact. A collective psychosis is sweeping the nation. We're in the thick of the haze craze, and a lesion is introducing an altered state of IPA. Contact Haze is a tangled chemistry of mild haze, low bitterness, and an explosion of hop aroma. This hazy IPA bursts with notes of bright raspberry, currant, citrus, guava, and passion fruit. Available in six-pack cans in stores. Make contact.
If we actually enjoyed our New Year's resolutions, we'd all have six-packs, money in our saving accounts, and we'd know how to play the piano. I have to tell you about the one resolution I actually enjoy. It's Built Bar. It's delicious. Oh yeah, it's healthy too. They're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. Lose or maintain weight while indulging. Visit BuiltBar.com.
Braves Country, weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, 99.1 FM The Key, your first choice for Southern sports talk.
Hey folks, this is Mark White with The Mark White Show, and you can tune into The Mark White Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Rock 99 WQEE The Key, the home of Southern sports and talk.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, home of Braves Country, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Welcome back. Tampa Tones is going to join us. He's coming in here, and he's all fired up to talk about Baker Mayfield signing a one-year deal with the Buccaneers. So you're telling me there's a chance. How are you, my friend?
Good, brother. Always a good time to be on Braves Country. And as you said, not a dull moment as Baker got introduced today. Will he be the starter? I'm not sure. All I know is at least he'll provide some competition in the quarterback room. It'll be interesting to see how it all falls out this summer.
Yeah, they're you got Baker Mayfield and what was the other one that I know I wanted to bring up to you. I don't have it written down in front of me, but there was another move that Tampa Bay made. Greg Gaines signed over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. The former Rams interior defense lineman played actually 90% of the snaps in the Rams Super Bowl victory a couple of years back. Fell victim on the depth chart to a couple bigger names, obviously the Aaron Donalds of the world and whatnot. But he went to college at Washington, played college ball with Vita Vea, played with Joe Tryon-Shoyanka, two essential pieces of the Bucs front seven already, played with tight end Kate Otten. So he's familiar with quite a bit of people in the Bucs organization already from the football standpoint, from the field level, and he's had some success. Obviously, not a super big splash, but to me, this is one of those moves where it does show that the Bucs are trying to win and compete in the NFC South in the year of 2023.
You know, there was another deal that kind of went under the radar over the weekend because Adam Thielen signs with the Panthers. I think a lot of people were focusing on that, and they have finally updated those numbers. 3 years, $25 million. If you heard the Sports Flash, they didn't have those numbers yet. Mac Hollins signed with the Falcons over the weekend. It's a 1 year, 2.5, very little risk on that. Man, I really like that because Mac Hollins is a big boy. Now, the question is going to be who's going to get the ball to him. But I loved Mac Hollins. He had a couple of big games for the Raiders, and they just – I'm not going to say they didn't utilize him enough. They've got a lot of mouths to feed in the black and silver. So maybe he can get an opportunity here in Atlanta and use this year as a springboard for a longer, bigger deal, either stay in Atlanta or elsewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, Mac Hollins, he didn't get too much money either. What was it, 1 year, $2.5 million, something like that. I really like a lot of these moves the Falcons are starting to make. And Armstrong? You know,
They signed two defensive backs over the Armstrong, mm-hmm. and they signed Ford, both to one-year deals, trying to help out the secondary a little bit.
And I really like – I know he didn't do much in New England, but I like that Jonnu Smith deal for them too. I think that under the radar a little bit, a guy who really – I mean, look, Hunter Henry didn't work out in New England either, so not really sure if it's Mac Jones or the tight ends. But one of those guys who has had red zone success before, and he could bring a veteran target to whether it's Desmond Ridder, another young quarterback, or a veteran such as Taylor Heinicke. I really like the moves – the Falcons are making. And oh, by the way, they have a pretty good amount of draft capital as well.
Yes, they do. And unless something changes, it doesn't look like that they're going to trade it away. So it should be an exciting thing. And got a couple of messages over the last week, folks asking me about our draft coverage when it begins. We're going to start it next week. There's too much going on right now to even think about doing it. But we'll probably hit it, start at the beginning of the week. And then, of course, you get the opening day hits. So that's a little difficult to navigate. But we'll probably get started early next week. We always do a mock draft, and we always do just a little bit here and there. We don't just, like, try to kill everybody with the mock drafts. I don't think someone wants to sit through 2 hours of mock drafts. So what we do with Braves Country, we've been doing it for years, is we'll go and we'll hit a few and then we'll talk other things. And then we'll hit another few and talk other things. So that'll start next week. The Tay Davis signing too. They signed linebacker Tay Davis as well, the Falcons. So that's they've been busy doing minor details, minor signings, but I do like what they've done so far in the offseason. What about O.J. Howard going to
the Raiders?
Yeah,
that was, you know, interesting. And this is one of those things, right? I know Baker Mayfield's a different comparison. He's a quarterback, but it almost feels like this is the end to prove himself for O.J. Howard, right? After having a couple promising years to start his career in Tampa, he bounced to Buffalo, got cut before preseason. Everyone thought he was going to sign with Cincinnati. No, they ended up pivoting to a way lesser talented tight end. He ends up going to Houston, has a couple touchdowns week one, then he gets hurt, unheard of after that. Raiders trade Darren Waller, bring in O.J. Howard. So the chance is there. The opportunity will be there for Howard. It's just, will he make something of it? I wish him the best. I wish him well. I just find it hard to believe at this point in his career you could lean on the guy, whether it's for injuries or lack of production.
Well, he's got the opportunity. His biggest issue to me has just been staying healthy. But when you look at the fact that Waller's gone, they're bringing in Jimmy G, and Jimmy G loves the tight end, right? Mm-hmm. So the opportunity is there. It's pretty much it's put up or shut up time for Howard.
Absolutely. And I mean, former first round pick, 19 overall, pretty dang high for a tight end. You don't hear that too often nowadays. So as you said, interesting that he gets yet another chance. Well deserved, but put up or shut up time for sure.
All right. So how's your bracket doing?
Well, it was a little better before the Indiana loss last night. I had four of four Final Four teams intact. I had Indiana making it, however, so that put a little bit of a pierce in my bracket. It's still doing pretty good, though. Obviously, I had Purdue winning a couple games. They're done. I had Arizona winning a couple. I have Kansas State going to the Final Four, and I have UConn over Bama in the finals. So as long as Bama, or as long as UConn wins, I know that's, I'm making it sound easy. As long as UConn has a puncher's chance, and as long as Kansas State makes it to the Final Four, I have a chance. I have a chance.
All right. So looking at, I'm going to go ahead and pull it up here so that anyone who's watching can play along here on our Braves Country HD channel on YouTube. Looking at who's left, and I'm going to pull it up in case you don't have it have it in front of you, Tones. But looking at who's left, and we'll start with Thursday's action. Give me what you would make as your new Final Four.
Okay, if I had to make a new Final Four, I'm going to stick with Connecticut. I think they're playing really good basketball. I know the path isn't the easiest. They have Arkansas. They have UCLA. They have a couple of good teams in their way. But, man, they're playing some really good ball, in my opinion. And I like that forward on their team a lot. I want to say his name is Odangbo. He's been phenomenal in the paint. He could shoot it from outside. I think he keeps building his eventual draft stock. So I'm going to stick with Adama Sinogo, that's his name. He's incredible. So keep an eye on him and UConn to make a run, coached by Dan Hurley, one of the famous Hurleys. Out of the other brackets, if bottom left, I'm going to stick with Kansas State.
If you look at the screen, we're going by day. So there you go. Give me your two that are going to advance to the Final Four that are playing on Thursday.
Thank you for reminding me to look at the screen. That might help sometimes. But the guys I'm going with on Thursday, I'm gonna stick with UConn, and I'm gonna roll with Kansas State.
Okay, UConn and Kansas State. All right. So from the Madison Square Garden, you got Michigan State, Kansas State, FAU, and Tennessee. I'm starting to believe in this Tennessee team, and I know I shorted them earlier because I was concerned about the injury, but, man, they're playing really good defense, and I just think Tennessee is going to be really hard to knock out. So I'm going to go with Tennessee. And had there never been an injury, I would have picked UCLA. But the one team that I can still roll with that I put in the championship game, I can't back down now. I'm gonna still roll with the Zags. I think Gonzaga. That UCLA game really concerns me, and it is an absolute gauntlet of what's going on in Las Vegas. You've got Arkansas, who's playing well. UConn, that's gonna be the game of the night right there. But really close second game of the night is that Gonzaga UCLA game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm excited about both of them.
Gonzaga, UCLA, I mean, that is a battle. And I went back and forth on my sheet probably 50 times deciding who to win that one. Gonzaga, I like them as a 3 seed more than the 1 seed, because to me, when they're a 1 seed, they're a little overinflated. They're a little ahead of themselves. As a 3 seed, they're a bit more dangerous. UCLA has had a good first 2 games shown in the tournament. That one has a potential to be a tremendous matchup.
All right, so now we have Friday night's games, and the teams left on that, you got San Diego State playing Alabama. The winner of that is going to play Princeton versus Creighton. Those are taking place in Louisville. Kansas City region, Miami's facing Houston, and Xavier's facing Texas. Who are the two teams that are left there that you're rolling with to get to the Final Four?
there's some good competition there. I'm going to stick with Bama, although Creighton's playing really good. San Diego State's playing dangerous. Princeton's playing upset. I'm sticking with Bama, the vanilla pick. And then I'm also going with Miami, although Houston's won a couple games now. To me, they haven't looked full Houston strength. I've been pretty impressed by Miami's two wins. A lot of people, including myself, had Drake taking him down. A lot of people in Indiana taking him down. Miami keeps finding a way to win. For that reason, I'm going to stick with the vanilla pick in Alabama and go a little bit outside the box, the conundrum, and pick Miami, although you still got Texas, Xavier, and Houston left. I think Miami's playing some really good ball right now.
Pulling for Houston, but, man, I've been doubting them and doubting them and doubting them. I've got to go Texas. Mm-hmm. Texas has looked really good.
Could they name that head coach, the interim head coach, or head coach already?
No, they're still dragging their feet on that. I don't know if they think it's going to be a distraction. I think it would be uplifting for the team, but I mean, it's enough already. Mm-hmm. Gus from Breaking Bad needs a long-term deal. Let's go. So I got the Longhorns. Man, my heart's really pulling for Princeton in the South region. Alabama's looked really good. But I've got this feeling that we might have us a Cinderella in Creighton. So I'm going to go with the Creighton Blue Jays. They look good. Over the last month and a half, I've watched more of their games than I probably realize. And they did me right this weekend on the lines. And I just... Princeton's going to be a pain, but Creighton has all week to prepare for them, so that's why I think Creighton's going to get through that.
Yeah, they've been playing great basketball, and they're great coach by McDermott. So,
if Princeton finds a way to win, they'll be dangerous because whoever wins between San Diego State and Alabama, and I fully expect it to be Alabama, they are a pain to prepare for when you only have one day to prepare, right? Of those four games, which one do you have circled that you're like, that's the game I want to watch that night?
I mean, a ton of good battles. If I had to pick one game specifically, though, that night, I'd go with the between Xavier. I'd go with Bama, San Diego State. Actually, give me Miami-Houston. I'm going Miami-Houston on Friday night. I think that game would be phenomenal. I think it's going to be a really good one, and I think Miami pushes him to the envelope. I think Bama, San Diego State will be good too, but I could see Bama running away with it a little bit perhaps. I really think Miami is going to give Houston a run for their money, if not end up topping him. I think Creighton takes care of Princeton pretty well, and I could see, although Xavier's been playing decent, I could see Texas piecing them together. I really think Miami-Houston is the best chance of being –
There's no way I watch the Texas game. It's coming at 9:45, and I know I'm staying up late the night before to watch Gonzaga. So I'm going to make it to the end of that Princeton-Creighton game, and then I'm going to call it a night.
Mm-hmm.
Princeton-Creighton is the game I'm most looking forward to because I've got a feeling that the Bama's going to bum rush San Diego State. And Miami-Houston will be it'll be entertaining, but I'm much more interested in what could be a heck of a Cinderella story if Princeton can. So Princeton's the team I'm pulling for. I just think Creighton's going to get past them. And when Creighton gets past them, they match up well against Alabama.
They very much so do. And again, it has to do with coach, and McDermott always has his guys ready to play, ready to roll out there, ready to roll.
Since we're talking college basketball in this segment, what is your lock of the day?
Lock of the day, you know me, and obviously no college basketball to get to tonight, but I've been hot on the ice, and I know the ice, you know, it's a little bit of an oxymoron, but I've been hot in hockey, so that's where I'm sticking with tonight. I got a little bit of method to my madness. I like picking games where teams have to travel a little farther to play some hockey, so that's exactly what I'm doing here again tonight. I like the Florida Panthers at Detroit Red Wings. Puck drop 7 o'clock Eastern time. Right now, they're at minus 145. That's our mark. So give me the Panthers traveling to Detroit. Puck drop 7 o'clock Eastern time. Panthers a road favorite, but Detroit's pretty depleted. I like the Florida Panthers at 7 Eastern.
All right. Man, I'm back and forth on this. It has dropped. All right, it's dropped, so I'll go ahead and take it. Let me see what the – I don't think I can hit the money line on this, but let me double-check something real quick. If I go so the CBI tournament is going on in Daytona Beach, and unfortunately you can't watch it, but that doesn't mean you can't bet on it. I like on a two-team parlay that's going to be about a 105 payout, plus 105 payout, give me Charlotte on the money line and couple it with Japan on the money line tonight.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be my my pick because, I have been a big, big fan of – this kid that's going to give it a go tonight. And I've yet to be able to see him watch or I've yet to be able to watch him play. Excuse me. I'm really looking forward to it. And I think he's going to find some magic in that arm. If you haven't seen this, Japan's got this kid. He's 21 years old and he's supposed to be an absolute. Sarge mentioned it last hour. He's supposed to be an absolute lightning bolt for an arm. And I'm interested to watch this play, and I want to see a Japan versus U.S. battle for the WBC championship. Because I look at those two, along with the Dominican Republic, as the three best, and I want to see a colossal showdown for the WBC. And it would be worldwide, big-time television audience. I mean, huge television audience if that happens.
Yeah, I really wish Saya Suzuki stayed healthy, and he'd be a big part of Team Japan. But they're rolling nonetheless, and I told my buddy from the start, watch out for Japan, and now they look themselves square in the eyes one game away from making the finals.
Yeah, I think they'll I'd be shocked if Japan doesn't win, and Charlotte should get the – I don't know why the line's moving down, but Charlotte should get that W tonight. So that is my luck. All right, let's take a really quick break. When we come back, prediction time. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country and Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Let's ride.
Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. The Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
We live in a world now that welcomes and nurtures the school in all of us. Hey, it's a new decade, people. Time to get a little nutty. Treat yourself to Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a smooth flavor that combines two of America's favorites, peanut butter and American whiskey. So no more social awkwardness. Time to embrace who you truly are. Get out there and make friends. And be sure it starts with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's available nearly everywhere. Learn more at screwballwhiskey.com.
Infinium Spirits. Please enjoy responsibly. Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I don't know.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE. Welcome back. Atlanta Braves 1-1 today in the Grapefruit League, beating the Tampa Bay Rays. And Roki Sasaki is the kid's name that I'm referring to. Now, look, we all know that this is probably all hype, but they're saying he's got DeGrom-like stuff. Now, I've only seen a few clips here. I've never sat down and watched a game. I'm looking forward to it tonight. And look, there's nothing competing with it. There's absolutely nothing competing with it. Even if you're into college basketball like I am, they're not televising the CBI, so I can't even watch the thing. It's, you know, you have to pay to go on some goofy website. I'm like, nah, I'm good, man. That's going to be, and then I'll be interested to see what the crowd's like down there. I guarantee it's going to be just as nuts as it. Did you get a chance to watch any of it this weekend, WBC?
I did. USA Venezuela was a phenomenal game. Let me say that. Trey Turner, thank you very much for that special moment. And
Captain America, huh?
And that just goes to show, if the Marlins had a great team, that stadium appears a lot different, right? That was probably the most rocking I've ever seen a baseball stadium over here. And it was the Marlins. And all the time you hear, oh, the Marlins stadium's terrible, this and that. Well, is it really just because it's a ghost town? I mean, look at that atmosphere. That was tremendous. It's, and it's
not a Major League Baseball city. Miami never has been and never will be. Right. Now, your Marlins fans who are delusional will start telling you, see, that's all you got to do is got to put a good product in there and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The people in those stands will not come out for a Marlins game. They won't. They've had winners down there before, and they don't even show up until playoff time. So it's not the ownership's fault that the Marlins stink. It's the fans' fault in the area who won't come out and support them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if they could get folks in the stands, yeah, absolutely, it'd be phenomenal. But it's never going to happen.
And if they do, they wouldn't get there till what, inning four and leave inning seven?
Well, that's Los Angeles, but yeah, sure. They're more likely to not show up for any inning at all.
Yeah, well, true, very true. It is LA. I did find it interesting, though. I was in Miami a couple of years ago, and I had an Uber, and the Uber driver was telling me, like, the price of a beer is more expensive than the price of a ticket there nowadays.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I went to a Braves-Marlins game years ago. 2017, 2016, so somewhere in that neighborhood. It might even been 2015. But anyways, big a Braves fan as I am, I was bored out of my mind. It's not a good baseball stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good thing that Derek Jeter did when he went down there, first thing he did was he got rid of the goofy flamingos and everything in the background that was still there when I went to the stadium. But It's very much like the Tampa Bay Rays Stadium. It doesn't feel like a baseball park when you go in there. It feels like that you're watching a ball game in either a really sparsely populated movie theater or some weird warehouse.
Yeah, it really does. And the thing with the Tampa Park is they, you know, they put nothing into it, and I know that the fans aren't going. Well, at least Miami's in the middle of Miami, right? The Tampa Stadium is about 40 minutes outside the heart of Tampa, and a lot of fans, by the time they get out of work, they start their games at such an oddity that a lot of fans can't get there. I don't know what Tampa has to do. Hopefully they're going to break the grounds on a new stadium soon, but, man, Florida baseball team surely need to spark some interest. I heard Tampa's going to build a stadium near the city of Tampa, actually, but now they're saying it's going to remain in St. Pete. Even if they build a new one, I don't see attendance changing much if it's going to remain in St. Pete.
They don't need to waste their money on that. Tampa and Miami need to move. One of them needs to go to Orlando, and the other one needs to go elsewhere. Like, you know, Nashville would be a good landing spot. Montreal would be a good landing spot. Pretty sure the A's are going to end up in Las Vegas, or I would say Las Vegas, but Miami and Tampa, they're just not. The Orlando is the only city in the state of Florida that would be able to produce enough fans regularly to fill up a baseball park. And if they're smart, they do not follow the model of these other two. They do not follow the model of the other two. They build an outdoor park. I don't care if it's hot in Florida. So you play most of your games at night, but you do not build an indoor park, because the indoor parks, unless they're done right, and they're not going to do it right, unless they're done right, they're just, they lack a baseball feel when you go into them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. And I think, to build on your point a little bit, not that it would completely help it, but if the Rays relocated north of Tampa a little bit, perhaps they'd at least be, you know, you should locate between Orlando and Tampa. You get the best of both worlds. You get your fans coming in from either way. If you remain in St. Pete, your attendance isn't going to change at all. It's not going to change zilch. So
Orlando, you would still get people coming in from Tampa. You would get people coming in from Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you get the people in Orlando. But the biggest thing why Orlando would make it over Tampa or Miami is it is a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Tampa is not a tourist attraction. Miami is not a tourist attraction where you do that, right? But Orlando is a tourist attraction for families, and that's huge. And a family would come in, not to mention you would not believe how many different conventions they have in Orlando, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say there's a convention every week, essentially, in Orlando, which is what it felt like when I lived there. There's no reason why you're not going to go, we show up on a Monday. We don't leave till Friday morning. Let's go check out the Orlando whatevers. We'll just call them the Rays for argument's sake. Let's go watch a Rays game on Wednesday. Why not? Right. But just, be smart, do an outdoor park, or maybe one with a retractable roof, but has an outdoor feel to it. Play your games at night.
And I really like your Athletics to Vegas prediction, because I think their minor league team's there, and I think on some nights their minor league team gets more attendance than the Oakland A's do. For whatever reason that might be. I mean, I know
49ers, they might as well move everything out there.
Correct.
Pick up the Golden State Warriors and move them to Vegas. Why not? Just make it one big thing, and then they can run a shuttle back and forth from San Francisco to Las Vegas. All right, let's go ahead and get into our predictions before it gets too late and we can't get into it. Who is your AL Cy Young, sir?
AL Cy Young for me, McGee. I know you might roll your eyes at this one. I'm going with Shea McClanahan. He was my prediction last year. He was a little bit of a sleeper pick this year. Has a little bit more of a favorite odds on field this year. Obviously, some tough competition there. But the Rays are built around pitching. If he pitches in a great division and he has a great year again, I think it's really going to do wonders for his stock, for the Rays stock. I'd watch closely Shea McClanahan. I like what he brings to the table for a pitch-first team like the Tampa Bay Rays looking to get back into the playoffs.
Now, believe it or not, I hit both of my American League predictions last year. I was looking back on it. I was like, man, I remembered the Cy Young one because a buddy of mine texted me shortly afterwards and was trying to give me a hard time. I was like, dude, Verlander's going to win the Cy Young, and sure enough, he did. I'm going with Jacob DeGrom. going into, now I know that's a huge, huge gamble. This guy can stay healthy, but if he can stay healthy, he's the best pitcher in baseball. He's the best pitcher in the American League. If I was going to do a side bet, so in other words, if I was betting both of these in Vegas, I rarely bet on awards. My side bet would be Dylan Cease of the White Sox.
Mm.
But a lot of things have to go right for a White Sox pitcher to win the Cy Young. And I don't think they're going to win as many games as they're projected to. So that's why I went with DeGrom. Who is your American League MVP for 2023?
Looking at it like that, I mean, I'm going with Shohei Ohtani, right? It could be his last season in the AL. He's heading towards free agency. Go Shohei Ohtani in a contract year. Just think about that. That's all I need to say. He's going to put on a show. And whoever gets him next year, whether it's in Atlanta, New York, Chicago, they're going to be lucky to have this cat. Shohei Ohtani is my MVP prediction.
I don't guess that one at all, because he gets votes when he shouldn't get votes. Mm-hmm. Meaning folks will vote for Ohtani just because they'll have the argument, well, he pitches hits. And my thing is, I don't care. You need to be playing incredible. You need to be playing the best at one or the other to get my vote. And essentially for me to vote for you as MVP, you have to be the best hitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that's what the Cy Young Award is for. My American League MVP, I called Judge last year. This year, going Julio Rodriguez. For the Seattle Mariners, I think they're going to have a big year. I think he'll be a big part of it. And he just doesn't seem like a kid that I would be shocked if he had a sophomore slump, I guess is what I'm getting at with him. I don't think he's going to have any big regression from last year to this year. And I think he's only going to get better. And I'm just assuming Judge is not going to be able to duplicate what he did, even come close to that, because that was a phenomenal one. And unfortunately for Judge, to win the MVP, he probably would have to hit more than 62 home runs, which isn't fair, but it's probably what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, real quick, we got to hammer through it. You know what? We'll just do your AL Central predictions today, and I'll do mine tomorrow. Who is winning the AL Central 1-5?
I got the Guardians finishing first, the White Sox second, the Twins third, the Royals fourth, and the Tigers
fifth. For a second, hold on. You got the Guardians?
I got the Guardians first. Sorry about that. The White Sox second, the Twins third.
All right.
The Royals fourth.
And the Tigers finishing up the rear.
And the Tigers holding up the rear. And I do like what they're building over there, but to me, they're still a couple years away.
Yeah, I do like the fact that I think Kansas City's got more of a punch to him this year. Let me ask you this. What's the number one factor why you're taking the Guardians to win the division?
I feel like every single year, whether it was with Boston or now Cleveland, Terry Francona just assembles quite the pitching rotation. They always bring up young arms that you never hear of originally, and they develop into the Aaron Civales, the Cal Quantrells, the Tristan McKenzies of the world. There's just something about Francona and the way he's able to put his team together. To me, they got the best closer in baseball now that Edwin Diaz is hurt in Emmanuel Class A. They have Jose Rodriguez. They got Josh Bell this year, who did all right last season in a prove-it year. Stephen Kwan should get a little bit better. I just like the steps that they're taking in the right direction. Sign a guy like Mike Giunino. Nothing flashy, but pretty good.
Class A is the best closer in baseball that is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't argue with that. What is your walk-off real quick? We're up against time.
Hey, fantasy baseball season, guys. If you're new to fantasy baseball, or if you're afraid to join a league out there, don't be afraid to get into it now and follow us very closely on Braves Country, as we're all big fantasy baseball guys. I got a draft tonight and tomorrow. I had mine with Braves Country guys last Friday. I can't wait.
On that point, next week, was it Tuesday night, we are going to be doing our annual Fantasy Baseball Draft live on YouTube. Now, it's not going to be on the radio show on WQEE. Why? Because it's extremely boring radio. So I don't want to do that to Ryan O. But it's fun to watch. It's fun to participate if you're into fantasy baseball on YouTube, because you'll be able to see the picks. And we have a lot of fun with it. We got to jam out of here. Keep it locked in here on the key. Thursday, we're bringing you Braves versus Mets. First pitch is 1:05. WQEE will pick up the broadcast at 2 p.m. So make sure to tune in, as we only got a few days, a few games before we head north to Washington to take on the Nationals. For all the guys and gals behind Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. We'll see you manana.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Braves versus Mets right here on Braves Country HD. The Atlanta Braves spring training is winding down, and important roster spots will be decided. Make sure to drop in and catch Braves Country spring training baseball right here on Braves Country HD, wherever you stream. Like and subscribe today. We're bringing you over 100 broadcasts in total in every game throughout the playoffs. That's Braves Mets, Thursday, March 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Braves Country HD.